Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Keevans is an American-based singer, songwriter, and musician who has seamlessly fused the soulful rhythms of reggae with the pulsating beats of EDM, pioneering a musical genre. After making his debut as a solo artist at the 1998 Florida Zen Music Festival, a music writer asked him to describe his sound. He replied, "My musical concoction is reggae EDM." Keevans' musical odyssey began in the vibrant club scene of Miami, where he initially made his mark as a DJ. His innate ability to blend diverse musical styles caught the attention of Anthony and Richard Booker, half-brothers of the legendary Bob Marley, leading to his involvement with the progressive reggae group Le Coup. Beyond his musical prowess, Keevans is deeply committed to using his platform to promote messages of unity, love, and social consciousness. His music is promoting a theme of multiculturalism, spiritual enlightenment, artistic expression, and positivism. His live shows consist of a lush drum and bass amalgam of vocal dexterity and musicianship, mixed with a progressive rock reggae club style and stunning dance as well as visual imagery. Keevans' knack for the timely and profound has enabled him to tour all over the world and finds him alongside an eclectic array of legends and prodigies, including Steven Tyler, Ice Cube, Tiesto, Daft Punk, and many others. This global citizen also coined the ultimate mantra, positivity is a necessity. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Keevans.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am fantastic. I'm in South Florida.
It's finally warm here and we had a cold front on the last week. Everybody was like scratching their heads. Oh my goodness, we can't hear for the weather. But the sunshine, and it's like 60 degrees, 50 degrees or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Why choose the stage name Keevans? How did that come to be? What was the choice behind it?
It is my name.
Okay, your birth name. But then why just standalone Keevans?
Oh, you know what? Okay, yeah. All right. You know what? I cannot remember anyone ever asking me this question.
So I was in a band with the Marley brothers, Bob Marley's brothers, or in a coup. And, you know, when you are in a crew of famous people, it's a very easy thing to do, to ride along and all the accolades you get. As I grew as a person, as an artist, I was feeling uncomfortable about riding the Marley energy. I wanted my own. So when I went solo, I dared to invest into my own brand. I'm like, I either going to succeed or I'm going to fail.
If I fail, it's on me. If I succeed, it's on me.
Okay, so you referenced that you're part of that band, but let's rewind even more. So at what age, whether you're a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be in this creative music entertainment world. And how did that journey progress?
I fell in love with the bass line of reggae music as a child. And I never thought or dreamt of or envisioned to become a musician. I wanted to be a pilot. My whole entire dream was to become a pilot. And after high school, I mean, right before high school, I tried to get into the military. I'm in the Air Force. And I went to sign up. I didn't pass the test. I was too skinny, too tall, didn't have 20/20 vision. And I find myself spinning records for a living. And in doing that, the reggae thing just got under my skin, and I found myself cannot be without it. So I became a musician, and of course, being in the Marley band, talking to Bob's mother, you know, you have Bob as an influencer, or the original influencer in my life, who is using music to change the world. You know, you want to emulate Bob, so you also learn you had to be yourself.
That's what Keevans is all about, being me, doing me.
Okay, so, and then what were the next steps? So you were with the band, and then how did the next steps happen?
First, I was a DJ, and I met Anthony, Bob's brother, youngest brother. Then next thing I know, I I wanted more out of DJing. You know, in high school, I played the trombone in school, and the writing aspect of music got to me. I wanted to be my own.
Yeah,
I could all being in the songwriter, like Bob Marley did. He was a singer-songwriter who had a message. So having something to say became something important. You know, and it's like, I got something to say too. It's not much, but you've got to start there. Yeah, that's the evolution.
From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes of a song, in creating that song, what motivates your creativity? What invigorates it? You said you've got voices or words to say. Is it easy for those words to come out every time? Do you write by yourself? Do you write with others? Let's unpack your creative brain and creative process.
I always write by myself, one. And to me, a song, I was taught that early, it's like a letter you're writing with feelings, but you put melody to it. What is a topic that interests you? What is moving you at this very moment in time? If it moves you enough, you have a responsibility to write about whether you use the song or not. It might become a hit within your head or not. I have countless songs I would never revisit again. I would probably come back and borrow lines from a song I never used, which I don't know the honor. So I remember there's a song from my first album called Please Don't Leave. I wrote that after a heartbreak. It took me 5 minutes to write the whole song. There is another song that's an album that took me years to write called Hallelujah. Took me years to polish and redo one until I, you know. So it depends on the vibe. And there are times where nothing comes off.
So when those songs take years to complete, does it get frustrating or you know enough now to think, okay, cool, it's just part of the process?
It's part of the process. I know that now. It was frustrating, yeah.
Okay. I love me a CD. For me, I budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's a thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you do in your creation. I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, the booklet, playing song from once to whatever number. I'm unsure if you're aware that CDs, vinyls, and cassettes, massive comebacks around the world. Last year alone in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls, the biggest since 1990. Also in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on for tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, they are now back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the younger kids, the teenagers, that are diving into this world, not the older nostalgic people. But then we also have these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What is your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Well, as a matter of fact, I just reached out to a company here in the US to settle a price sheet because I am intending to release a dub version along with my latest album called To Balance. The dub is side B. I want to put all the different records and cassettes. I'm a big fan because I used to be a DJ and a cassette. As a matter of fact, look at this. Remember cassette? Look at that. I have cassette next to me. You see what I mean? So I have a cassette there. I have a cassette player. I still play my cassette.
You referenced your latest album. Tell us more about it.
My latest album is called To Balance. It's a project that took me 14 years to do. It's an evolution of myself. I was going through a moment after the pandemic. As you know, the entertainment world is what was hit the most. I had shows lined up. I got canceled. And when you are not a big, big, big name artist, it takes longer to climb back on the ladder. And it so happened also, I had a loved one who I almost lost. So I got into a place where doubt was creeping in. I couldn't figure out how free I was, how worthy I was for the work I've done over all those decades. I was questioning my art, myself, my mind, my spirit. And after some deep meditation, I came to the conclusion, yeah, I'm worthy. I'm here as a servant of the light with a purpose, strong purpose. I recognize that within myself and I must push through. So I decided to embrace the analogy, the philosophy. A diamond in the rough needs to be polished. Before it shines, you need to polish it even more. So I decided to polish my work even more, where I came to the conclusion, oh yeah, this has a shine to it now. Now I can present it to the world. That's what Cult to Balance is to me.
Well, that's lovely. I like that. Thank you for sharing. What do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh my gosh. Lightning and thunder. When lightning strikes, it's just from like miniature lightning strikes from inside. The emotion, the connectivity with the people. When you know you have something meaningful that changes people's lives. Because I've been doing this for a minute now. So I know my music changed people's lives. I'll tell you a story. I always like to test the work before I release it. So I gave a copy of the album to one of my people who was playing it, or his friend. And when his friend heard my song, Little Boy Blue, he burst out crying. Played it a couple of times, then told my friend, you know, I was thinking of taking my life. This is a true story that happened 2.5 months ago. And at first I was like, wow, this is impressive. Then it dawned on me, the mission that I'm on, all the struggles I've gone through, I've heard this before, to be honest with you, a long time ago. But when someone tells you, I end up speaking with a gentleman after all. When someone tells you, your music just changed my life, I was about to take my life, and I heard this song, and I want to live now because it gives me strength. Come on. I mean, if you're a human being, you're going to do one of those, like, wow. Yeah, I had the idea that I had at the back.
You're on the right track. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You referenced that connectivity in the live show. Okay, so I'm that dude that I ride up in front. I'll take up my phone for one or two songs, one or two videos, and I put it away. I notice these days a lot of people are filming and recording and posting and tweeting, whatever they're doing, a lot of time during the show. For the person, for you on the stage, seeing a bunch of phones, does it sometimes take away from their connectivity, or it's just where society is at the moment?
I had a meeting right before I came here, and we were talking about the way things have changed over the years. You know, because when cell phones began to appear at the concert, at the arenas, it was like, wow, look at how many cell phones. Look at how many people just taking it. And as a self-promoter, we all artists are, or to be, at least, you know that video is going to go somewhere else. To the person who are there at the show, or it's memory.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it. I encourage it. You know, because, again, what I'm saying is timeless. I'm speaking about what's happening now in my work.
Okay.
So, yeah, record it.
Okay, so what's coming up next? You referenced the album. What's coming up in the next few months?
I am putting together the shows. The first concert, I believe, I will be doing, either February or March, is going to be in Mexico. Look like a Mexican tour is in the works right now.
Okay.
I have offers to do Japan and Beijing, but nothing is confirmed. Everything is in the air right now. I'm bringing in new booking agents and new management, because it's been a while since I've been out there, because, you know, there was COVID and I've been doing this for the past couple of years now.
Yeah.
So right now it's pure promotion, speaking with beautiful souls like yourself, getting exposure going, getting the songs to be heard before the shows happen. That's where I'm at.
You referenced the feeling and energy, so I'm going to dive into this. I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. As part of that, there's a sub-topic or sub-element around processing skills. Now, each of us have a dominant one, a secondary one, and a tertiary one. Dominant means that you'll be in it for most of the day. Secondary, maybe a couple of hours. Tertiary, half an hour, if at all. Now, something kicks in each of us as a child that allows us to get this into play. Now, the three types are visual people. So visual people, they create pictures of the information they receive. So as I'm talking now, a visual person will be seeing a picture in their mind of the conversation. Auditory people, it's about the words, about the sentences, about the information. They hear that and then they process it. Kinesthetic people, that's about the tone of voice, the energy, the body language, and the energy and the emotion. So they see or feel all those different elements, and then they process the information. Now, focusing to or for you specifically on music, this might be different in different areas of your life, but specifically on music, when you hear music, of your own or another artist? Are you creating pictures? Are you hearing the words, or is it about the feeling?
All three.
All three. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Because it depends on the song. If I'm hearing a song that I would depict the song, I would just like go into the arrangements of the song. If the lyrics are wet and the beat is groovy. But there are songs you hear, the lyrics is so present. It's like you are transported, because I'm a listener to start with. But let's, it's a rewind. Let me rewind. I'm the guy who wakes up every morning at 5 o'clock, to meditate, to quiet the lower mind. And the more you quiet your lower mind, the more you are in the now. What time is it now? Where are we here? That means seeing, feeling, connecting with all that there is and all that there isn't. You understand me?
Yeah.
So I tend to listen to music that has meaning, that creates emotion, that creates that visual, that forces you to visualize taking a drive down the mountain, going down as the ocean breeze is going. You know, I remember the first time I heard my song, Freedom for Humanity. I got to go there, because I've never been asked this question before. I appreciate. When I sat in the studio and listened to the song and the way the full arrangements, I just, my own song. All I could think about is driving down the mountain by the ocean, hearing the music in the background, feeling oneness with the universe, cherishing the beauty of nature. That song did that to me. No other song in my catalog did that. And that particular album.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question.
Yes, absolutely. Now, when you're listening to songs by other artists, are you able to just relax and listen to it for what it is? Or is your creative technical brain unpacking what they've created?
When I listen to John Coltrane or Bach, I cannot do those kind of music. Automatically, I don't try to depict those songs. I just accept this is beyond my ability to write music as a musician. When I listen to a Sade, I listen to the simplistic, effective way that she sings.
Yeah.
I keep going back to, wow, isn't that beautiful, that the tone of a voice? Or I would listen to Bob, and I have the feeling of the prophet talking. It's like the guide. You understand? So every artist brings something different to me. I don't listen to Brock. I listen to musical artists.
Yes.
You know, so if you got something to, I used to listen to Todd Rundgren when I was coming up, you know? And I also listen to Metallica, okay? I listen to Burning Spear. You know, it depends on the moment, where I'm at, what mood I'm in, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Simple as, yeah. So it depends. And, you know, some act, like I was telling you, John Coltrane or Miles Davis, don't try to understand that, because this is me speaking for myself.
Yeah.
I can't compare. I this is a different level. I can't even dare call myself a musician when those guys are new.
Okay, so I love this next game. I know if I had to ask this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs once you finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom? And if you can't think of specific songs, just 5 artists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's easy. Sting, Marley, Jacques Brel, Burning Spear. I have to go to John Coltrane again.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. On the top of mind.
And I love those games. I know literally if I had to ask you this again now, another 5 would pop up. So that it's.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly. Kevens, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
Positivity is a necessity. Life throws us punches on a daily basis. Certain circumstances that comes around are outside of our controls. But the way we choose to react to them is within our controls. Don't lose your temper.
Don't be quick to judge. Try to be a listener. And no matter what you're going through, just try your very best to be positive.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.